Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. I'm Jane Marie Schaefer.
And good morning. I'm Kim Hance.
And this is the Herzog Law Firm Estate and Medicaid Planning Show, where we talk about all things estate planning, wills, trusts, long-term care, guardianship, which we hope to avoid, probate, which
right.
we hope to avoid.
All things getting older.
That's right.
Or maybe not even necessarily getting older, right? Like, I mean, we say that.
Yes.
But the other thing we also say is that everybody should have a plan 18 mm-hmm. and above.
That's
so
true.
It's not just for old people, but we do specialize in all things aging.
We do. And if you are someone who has a question, you can give us a call. It's a call-in show. We're happy to answer your questions. 518-476-5900.
Good morning, John.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
How do you like the wind?
I hate it.
No, we were just saying that.
Yes.
I was putting gas in my car this morning at Stewart's. And
oh, boy.
Wind was whipping up.
Yeah,
I don't want to do this.
Got blown away. First of November.
I know. Here. We can feel the winter coming.
Right.
Yes. Right. and we're still busy, right? November is a very busy month for us. We're doing lots of interesting kinds of things. November is National Family Caregiver Month, for people who don't know.
Oh, so I didn't know
yeah.
that.
Okay. So, you know, a shout out to all of our family caregivers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We appreciate you.
And yes.
we're here to help you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's another thing we want to make sure that families know, that if they have issues or, you know, questions or don't know where to turn, they can always give us a call at our mm-hmm. office, which
that's
is 518-465-7581.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's right. And sometimes if you're a caregiver, you're feeling overwhelmed, you're not even sure what help you need. You
That's know, right.
can give us a call.
For
know,
sure.
We help you both on the legal side. Kim can help you. Kim and I did we went on a joint visit together recently.
We did.
Oh, you
we did.
Yeah,
oh,
okay.
we did.
Sounds good.
And sometimes the caregiver needs all those different types of help.
Right.
So,
sure.
you know,
yeah.
this particular case, it was the wife who was taking care of the husband.
Mm-hmm.
And she was getting really burnt out, I think,
yeah.
Overwhelmed. And, well, on my side of things, the husband had done all the finances and she didn't really understand all of them.
Right.
So yeah.
I'm trying to help her organize the finances to, mm-hmm. number one, you know, get everything together into a trust, and number two, apply for Medicaid.
Mm-hmm. And it's good you helped with that, because that's complicated if you haven't done it before.
Oh,
just,
yeah.
you know, paying your bills.
Just paying
sure.
the bills.
For the first time.
It is. It happens
yeah,
so many times.
Out.
And it could be either husband or wife. I see
yeah.
all
mm-hmm.
no preference. But,
yep.
you know,
yep.
if your spouse was paying all the bills and suddenly you have to
yeah.
take that over.
Right.
My house
hadn't
is my
been
wife.
Involved, right. Yeah.
So well, that's why I often joke, because I'm the one who does stuff in our house. And
yeah.
like my husband has an awareness, right? But
right.
like when
yeah,
it comes to
I
passwords
do too, yeah.
and,
yes,
you know,
right.
just all of that stuff. Like it's just
yeah.
important for people to at least know where things are located, so they
yeah,
have an
yeah.
idea of
right.
how
yeah.
to manage and,
sure.
and what's going on.
Yeah, we tell our clients to make a list of things, you know, for your family after you pass away.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not just for them, right? It could be.
No, it could be a hospitalization.
That's right.
It can be a sudden. I mean, in the scenario where you and I were doing the visit, he had had an accident. He'd
That's
fallen
right.
down the stairs, so he had a traumatic brain injury resulting
oh
from that, right?
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, so things happen.
Right.
Yeah,
and this
yeah.
is what we say
Sadly,
to people.
They do.
Like, being prepared for
yeah.
any sort of you know, type of thing that could happen. I mean, we certainly don't want people to live in fear.
That's right.
We'd want them to be prepared.
Right.
So just doing a few little things like that and being able to let folks know sort of this is where you go if something should happen.
Yeah, if you
and
you
it
write
just
a
makes
list
the process a
of,
lot easier.
You know, bills and finances, and create a little roadmap for someone who would have to take over for you.
Right.
You know, just pretend someone had to come in out of the blue and just make sure all your bills were paid. Like, just write down instructions for
yeah.
that, right? Because I do it in our family, too. And I remember a few years ago going in for, you know, brief surgery, and I panicked and I wrote everything down for my husband. I'm like, oh my God, the bills aren't going to get paid.
Right. Well, right. You know, so all things to think about and just trying to be, you know, a little prepared and proactive. And
and then so this client that we went to see, you know, which I could talk a little bit more about community Medicaid, but she kind of also just needed some general advice on caregiving.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Kim came in. And it was nice that we could kind of both give her advice. I mean, I know you were talking about a bunch of different things with her, from Medicare renewals to other resources in the community.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the big things now, too, if people don't know. you know, October 15th was the first day of open enrollment for Medicare. And 2026 has a lot of big changes for Medicare. A lot of plans have pulled out of our area. So everyone who is a Medicare recipient should be at least meeting with somebody to talk and review their Medicare, preferably somebody who is not a captive agent. And that's sort of what, and not that they're bad, right? But they're only going to talk to you about their plans, you know, like
one plan,
like CDP, HB, MVP. Like, they all have wonderful plans, but they're going to only talk to you. So you really want to work with somebody who either is a broker of all the plans, or through the local offices on aging, you know, they have what's called HICAP, which is health insurance information, counseling, assistance program. And every county office on aging offers that service for free. They'll sit and meet with you and talk to you about what your options are. And it's an unbiased opinion, which is what makes it really nice and really help you focus on, you know, what are going to be the best options for me. Like, one of my clients down in Greene County, her Medicare changed drastically. And because of her diagnosis of being a type 1 diabetic, suddenly her copays were going to go to like $700 for one of the things. And so, you know, we were able to change it. And it her Medicare plan also changed in that they were only using one pharmacy. So if you did it, and she had been using a different pharmacy without consequence for a really long time, but now, you know, new contracts with new pharmacies. So it's really important.
Yeah, a lot of changes are coming.
Yeah.
You know, for the first time, I'm going to have not a copay, but a monthly premium to pay.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I had zero for a long, long time, and now it's not a lot, but you can see what's happening.
You can see the differences, right?
So, yeah, you got
to and it's just good to be educated, right? It's just good to kind of understand and know what's out there, and talk to somebody who's well-versed to really help guide you through the process.
Especially if you have new needs, like you were talking about.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. Or if you have medications or certain doctors you want to see.
And what people don't really realize is, with Medicare in particular, it boils down to the medication you take and the dosage. That's really it.
Yeah.
And then beyond that, you can pick sort of the bells and whistles you may want with your Medicare plan. Mm-hmm. But choosing the plan really just boils down to those two things.
Right.
And you know, a lot of times, I mean, people's medications don't say the same, right? The dosages don't say the same, so they change. Right. So that's why you really, really, really should just be checking it out.
I always check, like you say, the meds and all my doctors.
Yes, to make sure they're all still covered.
Yeah, I found a plan that covered all my doctors but one.
Oh.
Can't use it. Couldn't use it. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So lots of information to learn and think about, you know. So
This is a good time for everyone to review this. I think a lot of people with Medicare don't really think about it after they choose their initial plan. And, you know, like in the workplace, you're kind of renewing your health insurance.
Well, and it really affects, too, like when people come to us, right, because we talk about the long-term care planning process. Mm-hmm. And so it can affect sort of, you know, what choices and options you have. Mm-hmm. And when we're trying to help folks navigate, like, it's something that's important for us to know, because we want to help people be able to make the best choice. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times a plan will play into that because of, you know, finances or what they do have contracts with, right?
Yes.
And so we want to make sure that all options are available.
Yeah. And sometimes with our community Medicaid clients, we're really getting into, you know, details of monthly expenses.
Right.
And, you know, your copays can greatly affect that.
100%.
That's right.
100%. Mm-hmm. So in addition to being National Family Caregiver Month, it's also National Hospice, Palliative Care and Hospice Month. So
boy, did they do good work.
Yeah, they
right.
do. That's great.
And, you know, there's a lot of really great types of things. People hear those words and they get very scared. You know, they're like, oh, I'm not ready for that. I was actually at a health fair this past week. And sat next to High Peaks Hospice up in Queensbury. And, you know, it was interesting to see when people would come by the tables to kind of talk. And it's like, oh, yeah, I don't need that, you know, sort of thing. Just when you're trying to engage the conversation about all the services outside of just plain hospice. But like this week, there's a really great program at the Albany Guardian Society that is featuring Dr. Aisha Suryabalan, who has been a guest on our show and is a good friend of ours. And then Dr. John Pizzullo from Saratoga Hospital. He does outpatient palliative care. Dr. Aisha does inpatient at the hospital. But they're going to be talking about palliative care, what it is, kind of dispelling some of the myths. That's going to be a great program. I think it's going to be held on Tuesday. One of the networking groups that I belong with, we're doing a palliative care and hospice showcase, really geared towards professionals, but obviously we don't turn anybody away. But also, again, kind of talking about what the differences are, how you utilize them, sort of what the language is around them. So
it's not just for the very end of life anymore.
Correct.
You can be using it for
all along,
months up until that. And there's a lot of support you can get from that. And, you know, people shy away from it because they do think, okay, that's the last, you know.
Well, and it's interesting. One of our panelists for the Synergy, for the Hospice and Palliative Care Showcase is from New York Oncology Hematology. She's a palliative nurse practitioner with their practice. So a lot of people are like, wait, right? Because you don't think when you're going and receiving treatment, but that's exactly what palliative care is utilized for, because it's really aimed at how do we help our patients get through treatment with the best quality, you know, really understanding what their treatment plan is. And so that's a big piece of what we're trying to do, is really help people educate folks on how that dovetails together and how we can really use those programs. So,
yeah, that's really great information. You know, we've offered classes on this. We're doing something up in our office.
Well, I was going to say,
a
little further in November.
I was trying to think of the date, but I can't remember the
date. Yeah, so it's going to be November 19th up in our Queensbury office from 10 to 11:30.
Right.
We're doing Navigating Difficult Conversations.
That's
and
right.
So you, Jane Marie, are going to be presenting on that and talking about sort of the legal aspects and how to support that, but also Andrew DeLallo, who's the program director for the Alzheimer's Association. And then I believe it's going to be Sarah DeSimone from High Peaks Hospice is going to be talking about some of the palliative care hospice options, you know. And so we really want, you know, to help people understand when it's time to start thinking about what are the resources that can be used for any time you're dealing with a long-term chronic illness.
Right. And sometimes, you know, getting your estate plan in order is really something that you need to do to, like, ease your mind. So if you haven't done it up until then, so certainly getting all your legal things done.
Right.
I get a lot of calls from families where they feel like, you know, their parent is, you know, nearing the end, so to speak. And they're like, well, what can we do, you know, to make things easier?
Yeah.
You know, and there's things like getting your name on a bank account so you can seamlessly transition paying bills and other things like that that you can do.
Well, and it's also important to know, I mean, not everything is equal, right? Like, I have a very dear friend that we're working with right now to help her with her dad. They had been living in New Hampshire and she had some estate documents done and they're not right. So the power of attorney doesn't give her the powers that she needs. You know, they did a revocable trust on joint ownership of a property. So there, and now her dad it does not have the capacity to sign paperwork. Yeah. So we're really trying
to
kind of
be tough with the POA.
It is. I mean, and it's it makes me so sad, right? When we have people that come into the office that feel like they've done the work that they need to do, and then when we're here saying to them, unfortunately, this is. This line wasn't initialed, or this wasn't done correctly, or and that's heartbreaking because it does reduce a lot of the options sometimes that people have. So
that's right.
That's why we always encourage people to call and just come in for a consult, right? And just review. We'll do that. We'll sit down and review documents and kind of say like, yeah, you're good to go.
Yeah, you are. And we'll talk a little bit more about reviewing those documents. I've certainly done that a lot for clients. And we'll be back right after the break.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, Saratoga Springs, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Phil, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us in Albany or Saratoga offices, call 518-465-7581 or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
And welcome back. I'm Jane Marie Schaefer.
And good morning. I'm Kim Hance.
And this is the Herzog Law Firm Estate and Medicaid Planning Show. And we've been talking about a lot of interesting things that are going on this month because it's National Caregivers Month, as well as National, was it Palliative and Hospice Care Month. And some interesting seminars we have coming up about that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, before the break, we were talking about, you know, making sure your documents are up to date. And, you know, a lot of people, when I'm out doing seminars, say, oh, I did it online, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, is it still, is it going to be good, you know?
Right.
And, you know, come in for a free consultation. We'll look at those papers, see what they are. I would say most of the time people are getting them wrong if they do it online.
Right.
I had this very sweet elderly gentleman yesterday, a couple. He had done his will with us, and he came in, and he had typed up his own codicil to the will.
Oh, gosh.
and he made a valiant attempt to do it himself, but it wasn't at all in the proper form. So I said, thank you very much. This is what you want to do, but now I need to take that and put that in our form it's legal. So, you know.
So he did some of the work. I mean, you know,
he did some of the work, right?
You know what he wants. So
he knew what he wanted, and he even, I imagine, he has a typewriter at home that he typed it on. That's right.
Yeah,
which was very sweet. But at least he, in his case, at least he came in so we could see it and make sure it was okay, and he was had no problem with me changing it. He's like, well, you make sure it's legal,
right? Well, and that's important, right? Because at the end of the day, we want to make sure that. That things are in proper order and done correctly, so that family members aren't tasked with problems.
Right.
You know, when it comes time to need to use that documents, it's hard enough going through the process of losing a loved one, but then realizing that things aren't in proper order or done correctly, is so tragic. You know, and we see that a lot, unfortunately, in some situations. But we also see things work really the way they're supposed to. And that's what's when it's really great. When you know, because when you're in the business of long-term care and dealing with, you know, as we get older, we really try to just make sure everything is as easy as possible, right? Mm-hmm. Because I remember, like, coming through school and... aging was called the golden years, right? And a lot of times we don't see that with our folks, and we really do want to try to make it so that it's the quality is much better,
right?
And that they're not worried about all of this other stuff.
Yeah, and I think getting your legal documents in place early can let you have those golden years, right?
Right.
Because the power of attorney is really one of the most important documents to help you as you age.
Yeah.
You know, and it, you wanted to have all those powers, that to make gifts, to set up a trust, to apply for Medicaid.
Right.
And if you just get your standard power of attorney somewhere on the internet, it won't have all of those powers.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you may not be able to do those things for your parent, spouse, loved one, if you don't have the proper power of attorney.
Right.
And then you're faced with the guardianship.
Yeah.
which is, you know, last resort. We don't want to do that.
Well, and as you and I were even discussing yesterday with another client, right? Yes. Like, guardianship doesn't necessarily even mean that you can still, because at the end of the day, you can't force somebody to do something. I mean, sometimes when you're backed in a corner, you have no other options, right? But just because you have guardianship over somebody doesn't mean you can, like, walk in and put them on a dolly and cart them out and put them somewhere else.
Yeah, so to talk a little bit more about that. So this client of ours has all of her estate stuff in place. Mm-hmm. Her niece is her power of attorney and healthcare proxy, and the power of attorney is ours, so it has all those full powers that she could do everything to help her aunt. And she can monitor her bank account, help pay the bills. But now we're getting into the side of things where she needs help at home. And we've seen this frequently. She doesn't want anyone to come in the house and help her.
Right.
And she's turning people away and isolating herself. And, you know, that's really hard as the niece from far away is saying, I'm the power of attorney, I'm the healthcare proxy, but what can I do to force the help on her?
Right.
Right. And that's more, you know, a difficult thing to do, how to get that person help. Sometimes our only leverage is to say, well, if you don't accept help in the home, you may have to go to assisted living or a nursing home.
Right. But it's still the process of that, right? And and I have the conversations very often with family members who, you know, come to us because they're like, this is what they need to do, right? Mm-hmm. And okay, it might be the better option, right? Mm-hmm. But ultimately, at the end of the day, if they're not incompetent, they still have the right to refuse.
Yes.
So we try in a lot of circumstances, and this is where we were saying where care management might be a really nice hand, you know, like set it up so that I just stop in and visit every couple of weeks as a friendly visitor, or just, you know, I'm just dropping by and not as a, you know, you should be doing this and you should be doing that. And, you know, but just starting to build a relationship and then peripherally having eyes on her, right? Like, because doing a home visit, we see a lot of things that you wouldn't see otherwise doing. I mean, doing a consult in an office or Zoom or on the phone. I mean, it was just like you and I doing the home visit last week. It was really good to put eyes on the house.
It was.
These folks, in addition to living in a more rural community, live up a really steep mountain.
Yeah.
Right. You know, so
you have to think about getting help up there.
Correct. So come winter and down in Columbia County where it gets a little, you know, and it's a gravel road, so it's not easy.
Yeah, right. Plow it,
You know, you got to start thinking about that. You have to start thinking about accessibility. I mean, they do have, you know, a place in New York City. So we had the conversation. Would it make more sense?
Right.
You know, and I think we kind of came around to a really nice, because the wife still wants to go to New York. She still wants to visit. So we're like, well, why don't we think about bringing care in?
And then we asked him and he said he liked being up there. So
right. And so she was feeling like she really, every time she goes to New York City, he needs to come along and he doesn't necessarily want to go. So, you know, we talked about, you know, having a live in. We talked about having somebody that could be there more and, you know, people sometimes think that's going to be really super invasive, but you can set it up so that it's there when you need it.
Right.
And not, you know, so in your face all of the time.
Well, we also had the same conversation that he will probably need a living caregiver, but New York City is a one bedroom apartment versus a whole house up here.
Right.
And if, I mean, you couldn't have that in New York City.
Correct.
Or you'd be,
well, everybody would be on top of
everyone
each other.
Everyone would be on top of each other all day long. So not as ideal as in a house where they had a spare bedroom for a living caregiver. She's an artist. She has her studio downstairs. Sure. So, like, there's just space for everyone to be.
Yeah. Right? Well, and I think that's, you know, part of us being able to develop comprehensive plans for people is being able to see all angles and really kind of come up with those creative solutions.
Right.
And sometimes it's using technology. Sometimes it's, you know, let's look in your immediate neighborhood and see what resources are here. Okay. A lot of times they don't think about that, you know, down at the bottom of the hill, there was the farm store, right? So a lot of people come in and out of there.
Yes.
So let's talk about maybe we can place an ad mm-hmm. at the farm store that says that we're looking for, right. you know, some type of companion. Mm-hmm. And so those are the things that I think when we're trying to help our clients come up with these comprehensive plans for mm-hmm. aging mm-hmm. and aging well, we have to think about and we have to consider.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes us different. You know, I'm not just going to do a trust and say, all right, goodbye, figure it out.
Right.
I mean, that's probably the extent of what I can do for them legally, right? But then we can bring in Kim and they're using you for some care management to really help finish this plan that, you know, they started legally with this trust and, mm-hmm. you know, and we're going to do a community Medicaid application. Yep. And that would be a way to supplement some of the cost of the care that they're paying out.
Right.
And, you know, community Medicaid, as we've talked often, is going to keep you at home longer, right? It's going to mm-hmm. spread your dollars more, you know.
Yes, so but as we were saying, that the, you know, with Medicare, the landscape is changing very quickly.
It is, that's right.
And that's been another big thing, too, is, you know, recently some of the rules have changed for not financially qualifying, but for medically qualifying, right? Mm-hmm. And so having an advocate to really help you through that process and really understand what the new rules are is super important because we've had several people that have, you know, and I use the air quotes, people on the radio can't see me, but have failed, you know, their medical test. Like we've gotten them financially qualified.
Yes.
But now they've had their assessment for the medical piece of it and they're not passing.
So yeah, those clients recently, the spouses were in that case kind of had enough. I mean, I don't mean in a bad sense, but
right.
and they were looking to place their spouse.
Yeah.
And what people don't realize, you can't just place someone. You actually have to pass a medical test to be eligible for the nursing home to
right.
take you.
Right.
And in this case, they weren't bad enough for the nursing home to take them.
Yep.
So now we are back to, okay, what can we do for you in the home, right? Mm-hmm. And get help in the home.
Yeah. So, you know, there are lots of nuances. And so doing, yes. you know, mm-hmm. we end up doing a lot of coaching and a lot mm-hmm. of, you know, problem solving, kind of sitting around the table and kind of talking about what types of things, how do we maximize mm-hmm. what the needs are mm-hmm. to be able to qualify for those different things. And it's not going to get easier, you know.
There'll be more challenges, right?
Right. So, you know, again, it's just encouraging people to not be afraid to you know, to call, to set up a time, call in on the radio show,
ask
your questions, you know,
come in and talk, you know, community Medicaid is a great option, but there's lots of nuances to it,
right?
That you need to, you know, talk through a little bit harder almost than a nursing home application where it's just, all right, are you financially ready or not? Right.
Yeah.
You know, community Medicaid, we have to see, you know, do you pass all the tests?
And we have those bigger conversations, right? Because so there's a lot of times when somebody comes in and we're saying, like, is this the best option for them?
Right.
Or should we just go ahead and get them financially qualified right now?
And then wait a little bit.
And then kind of supplement with some other services that we can get either through the county or, you know, through other resources. And then maybe in 6 months, we'll pull the trigger on doing the assessment to try to do get the physical aspect of the need met.
Yes. You should always get the financial side and the trust side done early.
Right.
You know, so if you haven't done it, sometimes people come in with a diagnosis that makes them do it. Mm-hmm. Right. Always better to have that in place and start that look back period going.
Yeah. And again, it's always good to particularly, you know, looking out for the caregiver because caregiving mm-hmm. is very stressful.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we're making plans for the person that we know has the diagnosis,
mm-hmm.
but then suddenly the caregiver has a crisis.
Yes.
I mean, we just had that yesterday where mm-hmm. we had a caregiver die very suddenly
mm-hmm.
After doing their planning and very tragic, mm-hmm. You know, because completely out of the blue.
That's right.
So we really want to help people kind of plan for all the corners that can happen in life.
Get all your planning done in advance. That's still the best thing that you can do to help yourself.
Yeah. Have a great weekend.
Great weekend. Don't forget to turn your clocks back.
That's right.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you would like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581 or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.